I know what you're all thinking. Karen has nailed winter 2019 fashion. I think you're going to be seeing this on the catwalks, New York, Milan, Paris. In fact, I think people watching at home, hello, people watching the live stream, might actually be opening another browser window to check out where they can get this. There is a reason that I'm wearing this stylish, elegant, comfortable outfit today. Today is the last week in our Armed and Dangerous series. And, you know, I thought that I probably should dress appropriately, armed and dangerous and ready for the battle. And over the last 8 or 9 weeks, we've been having a look at different spiritual disciplines that help us in our battle. Because battles come in life, and these spiritual disciplines help us be ready and help us fight the fight against the forces of evil. So that's one of the reasons why I'm wearing this stylish outfit. Now, today I'm finishing off the series and I'm talking about the spiritual discipline of study. And if you remember one thing from my message today, because I am going to be sharing quite a bit of information later and some tips and hints, but if you remember one thing, I want you to remember not how amazing I look in the outfit, because let's face it. Where's my photographer? Have you got a photo? You got one? Good, good. I'm sure this will make the wall outside. But I want you to remember why I'm wearing this. Because, you see, the reason why I'm wearing this is actually the reason why we need to study the Word of God. Might seem a bit strange. But I think it's actually just as important to understand why we need to study the Word of God as it is to know how to study it. Because if you know why, then you'll naturally want to study the Word of God. So the passage that was read to us just before was this passage from Ephesians 6, and it talks about the spiritual armour of God. And if you've never heard about the spiritual armour before, what Paul's doing here is he is talking to people that would be very familiar with this outfit that I'm wearing, very familiar with what a Roman soldier would wear. And so he's taking something that's familiar to them and giving it a spiritual representation, using it so that they can easily relate how this spiritual stuff works. So, here's the list of things that he talked about. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, what I want you to do for a minute is have a think about what these things do if I was actually out in a battle today. I'd probably look a bit silly, but let's go back a few thousand years and pretend that I'm on a Roman soldier on the field. What does my lovely helmet do for me? Protects my head. I have been told it can also be used to sweep the floor or to clean fans, but let's go with protecting my head. What about my body armour, my breastplate? Protects my heart, protects my internal organs, my spleen and my kidneys and things like that. What about my belt that I've got on here? Keeps my pants up. Well, actually, you know, for Roman soldiers, it kept their leather skirt things up, and the skirts actually protected them. Here's a fact I learnt last night. If for a Roman soldier, their skirts had to be a particular length, and if they were disgraced, they'd have their belts cut so the skirt would hang lower. So it was actually a sign of disgrace if their belt was cut. Interesting. But yeah, it holds up their protective skirt. Now, the other thing that a belt can do, if you think about a policeman today or a soldier, sometimes they have, you know, a taser and other things around their belt, so it surrounds them with all of the things that they need ready at hand. Okay, what do my shoes do? They protect my feet and they help me to get to where I'm going. So when I'm out walking on the long roads, they protect my feet. My shield? Well, it stops the arrows and it stops the swords and probably wouldn't do very good today, and especially as this one's foam, but the idea is there. Lastly, what does my sword do? Stick them with the pointy end? It helps me fight. Okay, so that's what this armour does from a physical sense. But what I want to do is have a look at what it does from a spiritual sense, which was the point of what Paul was getting across here to the people. Now, for this, I'm going to need my trusty armour bearer, so Baldrick. Excellent. So what we're going to do here is have a look at this verse in a different translation. And we're going to actually start with the very last verse here because I'd like to get this helmet off. So it says here, embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. So can you take off? What you'll see is the beanie of salvation, which is also vitally important. We won't keep that one. So what the helmet of salvation does, just like a normal helmet would protect your head, the helmet of salvation covers your mind with salvation and protects it. So when the enemy comes and goes, you're not really saved, God doesn't really love you. Yes, he does. I've got my salvation as a helmet to protect my mind. Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Thank you. So just like a belt also protects and surrounds with the things that you need, the belt of truth surrounds you with truth, obviously, so that you can stand firm. Okay, let's do the shoes next. I have to ask you a question. Is there any siblings out there who are thinking, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be funny to make my sibling do this? So the shoes of peace, just like shoes in real life protect your feet and help you to get where you're going, the shoes of peace, there we go, says stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. So the shoes of peace protect my feet, but they also help me to get ready to share the good news wherever I'm going. Okay. Thank you. My armour. Put on holiness as a protective armour that covers your heart. In just the same way as physical armour protects my heart, the breastplate of righteousness protects my heart, because my heart, like my mind, they're the two places that the enemy likes to get us.
You know how this works.
Thank you, Baldrick. Got to tell you, this is great. Okay, now we've got the shield. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Just in the same way that a shield would protect a soldier from arrows, the shield of faith protects us from the arrows that the enemy fires. So I'd just like to thank Baldrick for her assistance. Oh, hang on, Baldrick. You forgot to move this. So that's all fairly good. It helps us understand what the spiritual armour does, but there's one thing I've missed, and I've missed that deliberately. Can you tell me anything about this spiritual armour that we've talked about? What does it all do for me? It protects me. It protects my mind, it protects my body, it protects my feet. What does the sword do? It helps me fight. And in fact, if you look at the spiritual armour, the sword is the only piece of the spiritual armour that we can use to fight. I mean, you could probably throw the helmet at someone or throw the shield at them like Captain America, but it's probably not going to really work. And so the sword of the Spirit is the thing with which we fight. And it says here that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. We fight with the Word of God. Now, what comes to mind when I say to you, Word of God? The Bible? So is this saying that what we actually fight with here, the sword of the Spirit, is the Bible? No. Hang on, has Karen lost her mind? Surely it's talking about the Bible. It's actually not. This blew my mind when I discovered this, and it's really, really interesting. See, there's two words that are used in the New Testament for the word, word. For the word, word. Say that 10 times fast. Word, word. And, well, there's probably more, but there's two specific ones. The first of these is the word logos, and it's the word that's most used for the word of God, and it's an all-encompassing word. So it refers to the Bible, the written word of God, the words that God spoke to the prophets and things like that. Logos is all-encompassing. And here's the interesting thing. Logos also refers to Jesus. Jesus is the word of God. And if you read, for example, John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Logos, Jesus, the Word. And through the Logos, through Jesus, everything was created. Because Jesus is the one that has the physical manifestation, the one that came and walked here on earth among us, he is the one that actually everything was created through. God conceived it in his mind. He conceived creation. The Word he spoke was Jesus. and Jesus created everything. And that's why we refer to the Bible as the living word, because it's the living word, but it's also Jesus who is living. Interesting. So logos refers to the printed, like the written word of God, our Bible, and it also refers to Jesus. It's an all-encompassing word. But that is not the word that's used in the passage about the spiritual armour. The word that's used is rhema, another Greek word. And this is quite a specific word. So if logos is everything, rhema is just a really specific one. And it is the spoken word of God. So how do we use the spoken word of God as a weapon? It's not us speaking God's word, it's God speaking to us. Sounds a bit strange. But here's how it works. Logos and rhema have a really, really close relationship. And how it works is that in those times when we're doing battle, in those times, you know, we're facing hardship, God speaks to us and reminds us of the logos that we know that we can use in a battle. So, for example, what I said before about the enemy coming against us and saying, God doesn't really love you. You're not really saved. God might put into my mind John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that whosoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. That's the relationship here. We have the logos inside of us, and when we face trouble, God speaks to us through rhema, his spoken word, and we use that verse to fight the enemy. So Paul actually refers to this in the scripture. So he says, pray also for me so that when I speak, a word, logos, may be given to me. And the may be given to me is talking about the rhema of God, the spoken word. So the relationship here is we know the logos, we know the word, written word of God, we know Jesus. And when we face hardship, God uses his spoken word, his rhema, to bring to mind the verses that we can use to fight the battle. Now, you might think, well, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it? Really, I mean, we're using scripture to battle anyway. Isn't it the same thing? Well, let's consider the two scenarios. Scenario one, okay, I've got my Bible, I'm reading through it, I'm learning scripture verses, I'm facing some hardship, the enemy's coming at me. Right, I know that verse, and I know that verse, and I can fight the enemy with that one, and, well, you know, remember this one. I'm on my own. It's up to me to remember the verses. It's up to me to remember how I fight. It's up to me to throw verses at the enemy. It's a bit scary. Let's look at situation two. I'm reading the word. I'm getting the word into me. The logos is in me. I'm learning my scripture. I'm studying my scripture. I face a battle. God rhemas me, brings to mind the right scripture. I speak that scripture out. But because I'm speaking out the living word, I'm not fighting this on my own. It is actually activating the living word, Jesus, and all of the power that comes with him to fight that battle for me. Which sounds better? Over here doing it by myself or using the living word, God speaking to me? I think this one's going to be better every time, isn't it? So can you start to see why it's so important that we know the word of God, the written word of God? Even though this passage uses rhema, which is the spoken word of God, they have such a close relationship. We need to understand, we need to study the word of God, we need to read the word of God, we need to memorise the word of God, so that in the day of trouble, God can rhema us, remind us of the scripture we need, so that we can do battle and the power of Jesus, the power that raised him from the dead, as it says in Romans, is available to us. I think that's pretty cool, don't you? There's a verse here from Hebrews that says, for the word, the logos, which is both the written word and Jesus, of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. And that's because it's the living God. It's Jesus who was raised from the dead, and the power that raised him from the dead is available to fight our battles for us. I think that's pretty cool. Now, if you've been coming to this series over the last few weeks, you will have heard people say, well, this is a weapon, worship's a weapon, prayer's a weapon. And I've just said that this thing is the only weapon. What I mean by that is that the word of God actually underpins everything. The word of God underpins our worship, Because when we worship, we're using God's word and we're actually wanting God to speak back to us. Prayer and meditation is underpinned by the word of God. All of the spiritual disciplines that we've looked at are underpinned by the word of God. And that's why I like the fact that we're finishing with study, because it's so important to all of the other disciplines that we've done. Okay, so if you remember one thing from today, I'm not in it anymore, but remember how silly I looked, or stylish, whatever you like, and remember why we need to study the Word of God. We need to study it so that when we're fighting battles, we're not doing it on our own. God's reminding us of Scripture, bringing it alive in us so that we can then fight and the power of Jesus is with us. So, okay, we know why. What about how? Now, look, this is something that, how long's a piece of string? Really, you could talk for ages about how to study the Word. So what I want to do is just give you a couple of tips, a couple of things that might help you out. Now, I realise that there's some people here who are right at the beginning of this journey, and there's some people that have been doing it for a long time. So there's going to be things here for everyone to give you a bit of a challenge, to give you somewhere to start. How to study the Word, there's heaps of different ways. One of the ways I really recommend is in a life group, because in a life group, you're with other people who are keen to learn and support you too. There's that verse about iron sharpens iron. Being in a life group's fantastic, and we've got some great life groups here and we're starting up some more, so that's something to think about. There's also formal study. Sometimes people think, oh, study, maybe I should, you know, go to college and learn more. Absolutely, that's a way of studying. There's also memorising scripture, just straight memorisation, which is fantastic. And, you know, if you think, well, I don't know any Bible verses off by heart, if you learn one a week, in a year's time, you'll know 52 verses. And that's actually heaps. I've got a list here of 40, and that's, you know, two pages worth. So if you learn 52 over a year, that's amazing. But you want to know the really cool thing about memorising scripture. If you're memorising scripture, you don't have to go, oh, okay, the third verse I learnt was this one. Here's the fifth one I learned. Here's the 17th one I learned. If you've got them inside you, if you know your logos, when God rhemas you and speaks to you and brings it to mind, it doesn't matter if you can't recite it off by heart. Because it's alive in you, he'll bring it to mind and you'll remember it. You don't have to be able to sit there and recite all 52 of them. As long as you've got them in you, God's able to activate them. Another way that you can study the Word of God is through your own quiet time or your personal devotions. If you've never heard the term quiet time, it's literally a time that you set aside, a quiet time obviously, that you set aside to study God's Word. And that's what I want to give you a couple of tips and hints about today, because it's so vitally important. Now, studying the Word of God has many, many benefits. It helps us grow in our relationship with God and that kind of thing. But what I'm really looking at here today is getting the Scripture into us. So, here is my 4-point fail-proof plan for a quiet time. Find a suitable time and place. Well, duh, Karen, of course. It's pretty obvious, but it's really important. Now, I'm a night owl, so I do my devotions at night. If I was trying to do them in the morning, I'd be falling back asleep. You've got to find a time that works for you. Number two, you start with prayer. God, what is it that you want me to learn from you today? How do you want to change my life today? And number four, you finish with prayer and thank God. So 1, 2, and 4 are kind of common sense. It's really only number three that we need to look at. Use your plan. Okay, what's your plan? Again, 3-point fail-proof plan here. Pick a Bible, decide what to read, and find a method or tools that work for you. Okay, pick a Bible. Some of you are thinking, well, we're going to use the Christian Bible, aren't we? Not going to use some other one. Of course, we are going to use the Christian Bible. But did you know just how many sorts of Bibles there are? Let me tell you. There's 4 categories of different translations. And wherever you're at in your journey, you might want to choose a different one. So the very first one is what we call a word-for-word translation. So whoever's translated this has taken each word from the original Greek, put it into English. Sometimes they're hard to read. Sometimes they can seem a little bit disjointed. If you study formally, you'll use an NRSV. That's one of the examples. And maybe if you've been on this journey for a while and you've been doing Bible studies and that kind of thing for a while, maybe your challenge for you today is to actually try an NRSV and go a little bit deeper. The second one, and the most common probably, is the dynamic equivalent of thought for thought. And so what the person who's translated this has done has taken a phrase or a sentence or an idea and translated that into English. And so rather than being a little bit disjointed, it's easier to read because it's, you know, a phrase or a sentence. So the NIV that we use here at North Brisbane, I believe at Moonya they use the NLT, they're both great examples of this thought for thought. Here's another one, a paraphrase. So that long version of the spiritual armour verse that I used before was from the Passion Translation. These tell things a little bit more like a story. They're a little bit more fluid in how they explain things. It's still the Word of God, it's just told more like a story. And if you're new to it and you find maybe the NIV or the NLT a bit of a struggle, this is a great place to start. Or maybe if you've been doing this for a while and you know your NIV, sometimes going to the Passion or the Voice or the Message can give you a whole new perspective on things. Maybe you need to have two or three open at the same time. So lastly, we have the combination. Has anyone used an Amplified Bible? A couple of people. So what the Amplified does is it gives you the scripture, but then it's got these square brackets where it gives you extra words that help define what you've just read. Now, sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I find it a bit annoying because I'm getting into the groove of what I'm reading and then there's all these other words. But if you're really studying it, it defines other words that you've been reading before that, and it's fantastic. So there you go. There's different types of Bibles. Pick the one that's going to suit you best. But wait, there's more. What media do you want to use? Now, we've got hard copy Bibles. Great. A lot of people choose to read in an app these days. The YouVersion app is fantastic. It lets you read heaps and heaps of different translations, and it gives you reading plans and things. If you're looking for something and you want to compare some translations, something like Bible Hub or Bible Gateway is fantastic, or you can listen to the scripture. Any of those are fantastic ways to do it. Find what works best for you. You know yourself. You know how you like to do things. Find the one that works best for you. What to read? Well, this is another whole topic within itself. There's heaps of different ways you can choose what you're going to read. One of the most easy ones is to have a Bible plan. And some of these are a Bible plan that read the Bible in a year or read this book or things like that. You can also maybe decide, you know what, I want to do a study on King David. So you go through and read all of the things about King David. Or I want to do a study on joy. So I'm going to go and pick all the verses out, all the passages that talk about joy and study them. Again, there's lots of different things that you can do. And if you use one of the apps, then it actually, you can do reading plans where it picks, you can pick a topic or you pick a book and it helps you read through it. I've actually got some reading plans that we can talk about a little bit later. How to read it. So we know what Bible we want to use, we know what we want to read, but how do we read it? So as I said, reading plans from YouVersion are great. Some people like to read the word and meditate on it. Just sit quietly, pray, talk to God about what they've read. Some people like to journal. Who's a journaler? So journaling is writing down how you're feeling, what you're thinking, what God's saying to you, and just like keeping a diary, I guess, of what you're reading. The last one is SOAP, which is obviously an acronym. And SOAP is a really good method if you have never really gotten into this before, or if you have actually been studying for a long time, it gives some structure to what you're doing. So what I want to do is have a quick look at SOAP, see what the letters stand for and see what we can get out of it. So the S stands for scripture. What scripture am I actually looking at here? And what you want to do is you want to go through it, if it's a long passage or even a short passage, go through and pick out words that speak to you. Pick out maybe one verse out of all of them that speaks to you. You know, what do I think God's saying here? Read the verse out loud. Get it into you. Write it down. What scripture are we actually talking about here? The second one is observation. What's going on here? So if you're reading one of the Gospels and you're reading something Jesus says, you might want to just look before and after and see, well, where is Jesus? What's he doing at this time? Get an idea, get a feel for what's happening. Maybe if you're reading one of Paul's letters, you want to have a look, well, who's he writing to and why? Maybe you want to look at a commentary and get some ideas. What's going on here? What are the key words? What's happening? Application, how can you apply this to your life? What's God actually saying to me? So let's say, for example, that I've just read something, a passage about Paul talking about peace. And so the application is, well, God can give me peace. what's God actually saying here? And then we finish off with a prayer. Now, this one of the comments here might seem strange, pray God's word to him. But, you know, when you read a scripture verse, you can actually say, hey, God, your word tells me in Philippians 4:13 that I can do anything you call me to do because you're going to give me the strength. So, God, give me the strength that I need today to do the things that you've called me to do. You can actually quote God's word to him, quote it and say, I'm claiming that for me today. That's what I need. Thank him. Ask for help. And, you know, sometimes prayer also involves an element of confession and repentance. God, I'm so sorry for the times that I try and do this by myself. I'm stubborn and I just step out and try and do things myself. Please forgive me for that and remind me that you're here with me. That's the kind of thing that you might write down as your prayer and then pray to God in soap. So it's a fairly simple thing to follow. We've got our scripture, we've got our observation, what's going on here, application, how does it apply to me, and then prayer, how do we want to pray about this to God? Okay, so that is my four-step, no-fail plan for doing a quiet time. Find your suitable time and place. Pray. Use your plan. So you've picked what Bible you want to use, you've picked what you want to read, and you've worked out a method that works for you, whether it's journaling, whether it's soap, whether you're doing a YouVersion plan or something like that, and finish off with prayer. Do you reckon that's something everyone can do? And it's going to look different for everybody. Some people might like to do this early in the morning out in the garden. Some people, you know, do it on the bus. Whatever works for you. As I said, you know yourself best, so you know what's going to work. A couple of things to note about studying the Bible and getting into God's word. Don't read in, draw out. Don't go in with a preconceived idea of what something's saying and don't put your own thoughts into what you're reading. You want to draw out what God's actually saying. Can be really, really easy to go in and just go, oh yeah, that means that, without stopping and asking God, well, what are you actually saying to me through that? Don't go Bible verse shopping. Sometimes we do this when we are trying to justify something we're doing, or maybe we're trying to prove a point to someone and we think, right, no, that one's no good, no, that one's no good, no, no, oh, that kind of agrees with them. Ah, here it is, this one, I've won. Probably a little bit exaggerated, maybe not. Don't go Bible verse shopping. So if you want to go and find all the verses about joy, that's great, but don't go through and find one for your own purposes, is what I'm saying. If you miss a day, just get back into it the next day. I'm amazed by the thing that messes me up in my own quiet time the most is because I'm structured. I'll miss a day and then I'll be like, oh, got to catch that up. Do I do two in one day? And then I'll miss another one and it just throws me out of kilter. You know what? It's actually really easy. If you miss a day, just get back into it. And the last one thing to note, don't read books about the Bible. Don't read books about God instead of actually reading the Bible. Now, it's great to read books about God. It's great to read books about the Bible and to help you understand it. But that doesn't replace actually reading the Bible itself. You've got to read the source material as well as reading stuff that helps you to understand it. Okay. I've got some resources here that might help you wherever you're at in this journey. So as I said, I've got some reading plans here. Now, if you're new to this and you've never really done a reading plan before, there's one here called 5x5. 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, and you'll get through the New Testament in a year. It's pretty cool. So 5 days a week is good too, because if you miss one, you've got a day to reflect and think about it. So there's a 5x5. There's another one here that gets you through the whole Bible in a year. There's one over here that is another get through the Bible in a year, but it breaks it up so that each day you're reading something different. So one day you'll be reading a psalm, the next day you'll be reading a gospel, the next day you'll be reading some Old Testament history. Breaks it up and makes it a bit more interesting. And lastly, there's one here that's actually a chronological reading plan. It's one that I always say I'm going to do, where you actually read through the Old Testament. And when you get to the books like Chronicles and Kings that are a whole stack of history, it actually puts all the other stuff in place so that you're reading it as it chronologically happened, which some of you are going, oh, I couldn't think of anything worse. And I'm like, yes, this is really exciting. So some of these plans will excite you. Some of them will make you go, nah, thanks. I've also got some scripture verses here. Just if you want to do some memorization of scripture verses. And you see these stacks of Bibles. So if you don't have a Bible, I want you to take one today. We've got some large print and some regular print here. We want everybody to have a Bible. So if you don't have one, come and grab one. So that's really what I wanted to say about studying the Word of God. Why do we need to study the Word of God? We need to study it so that the Logos gets into us, so that God's Word gets into us, so that when we're facing hardships, when we're facing trials, and you know, it says in John 13, John 16, somewhere in John, Jesus says to his disciples, in this life you will have trouble. You will, it's part of life. But I'm telling you, there's hope because I have overcome the world. We will face trials in this life, but Jesus has overcome them. And that's why when God rames us, God brings that verse to life. We speak it, the living word gets activated. Jesus has overcome the world. He can fight our battles for us. That's why we need to study the Word of God. And I've given you some tips and hints about how. There's heaps and heaps of more information if you want to chat to me. So as I said, today is the last in our Armed and Dangerous series. And so I want to take just a moment to recap the series and what we've talked about. Now, in the first week when Toddy spoke, gave us a call to arms, his challenge for that week was to come to every week or watch every week online. Is there anyone that's made it every week? Cool, that's awesome. Here's the topics that we've covered. So as I said, Toddy gave us a call to arms in week one. He spoke about the Israelites marching around Jericho and how their praise brought down the walls. And then Lisa spoke to us about service. And this was a fascinating one. If you missed this, go ahead, go back and watch it. She talked about how Jesus washing the disciples' feet as an act of service actually kept the relationship with Jesus, kept them really connected to Jesus, rather than, oh, service is something we have to do. It's actually something that connects us to God. It's great. And then Donna and Ellen spoke about prayer and fasting and how when you really, really need a breakthrough, sometimes that focused prayer and fasting is just what you need. Jeremy spoke about confession and how confession can free us up. And you know, one of the things that the enemy likes to do and get into your head, when you have unconfessed sin, something that you know you need to bring to God, the enemy gets in there and... But when you confess it, there is so much freedom in that and the enemy can't get you for it anymore. There's amazing freedom in confession. Lou talked about solitude and meditation. Sheldon talked about worship and celebration. A couple of weeks ago, Toddy spoke about guidance and how we can seek God and seek him when we need to know what to do. And then last week, Donna spoke about submission. Submission's that word we were all like, ew. But she brought a new freshness to it and about how it's actually surrendering our own wants and desires to actually put other people first. And then today I've talked about study. So I don't know, for the ones that you've been here for over the last however many weeks, I wonder if there's one that's particularly spoken to you and one that's really helped you. The thing is, though, we actually want to use all of these as a combination to help us be battle ready. Because as I said, Jesus says to his disciples, there will be battles in this world. And you know, how do I put this? I won't say my least favourite Bible verses, I'll say one of the most challenging Bible passages for me is James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials. What? Consider it pure joy when you face trials because facing trials builds endurance and builds your character. I find that really challenging. But you know it's true? After you've been through a battle and God's helped you through it, it has built your character, built your strength, and it's also strengthened your relationship with God. And it's important that we focus not just on one or two of these, but on a whole combination of them so that when we need to, we can be battle ready. So what I want to ask you today is, where are you? Obviously, you're sitting in church. That's my humour. But where are you today in the battles that you face with God? Are you trying to fight battles on your own? Are you over here reading the word and trying to use it as a weapon without activating the power of God? Maybe you've just come through a battle and you're like, I just want to praise you, God, because you have gotten me through this battle. Things are going great. Maybe you're in the midst of a battle. Maybe the waves are raging all around you. Maybe you're just hanging on by the skin of your teeth. Where are you today in your battles? You know, I want to offer a chance for us to respond, not just to what I've spoken about with study today, which, you know, there's the resources here to come and get, but with all of the topics that we've covered over this series and where you're at in this battle season. I know I got my trusty servant to put the spiritual armour out too, because maybe when I was talking about some of those things, there was one that you went, oh, I really need that. I really need peace in my life. I need the shoes of peace. Maybe you want to come and symbolically pray at the shoes. Maybe you need your mind protected and you want to come and pray at the helmet of salvation. Maybe you need your heart protected and you need to pray for the breastplate of holiness, the breastplate of righteousness. I want to offer this chance. I'm going to ask the band to come up for us to reflect and pray about where we're at. And not just where we're at in our battles, but where we're at in our battle preparation. Because things might be going great at the moment, but battles will come. Are we ready? Are we armed and dangerous? I'm going to hand over to the team. Please come and pray.